listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 152, Jonah, a VeggieTales movie. If only. If only. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Mrs. Chelsea, Miss Chelsea Robson.
Oh my goodness.
Just rubbing it in.
I have a story about this. We'll continue when I come back.
For those of you who are new to our show, the Animation Addicts Podcast is a show all about the wide world of animation. We talk about films past and present. And this time we're going a little bit in the past, 15 years to be exact. And this is a patron pick, meaning that we go back and we review a film that was picked by one of our patrons. This time it was Matthew.
Yay, Matthew.
I'm going to look it up. So, Chelsea, tell us that story that you were going to...
Well, okay, on the Facebook page, we had a couple posts go out, and they're just like fun little quotes or whatever, and they were all about love for whatever reason.
It was different Disney quotes that were being published to the Rotoscopers Facebook page. Why not? Hey, who doesn't love a good Facebook quote?
Exactly. And they just happened to be about like two in a row about love. And then the second one was from Hercules. I haven't seen this much love in a room since Narcissus discovered himself. And then somebody posted... as a comment, there's two quotes about love within an hour. Is Chelsea getting married or something? And I was like, what? But then the person right below that posted the quote, if only, if only. I was like, I don't know.
Ouch.
I don't know whether to be offended or just totally impressed by your fantastic quoting right here.
Yes, they stayed in the movie. They found a Hercules quote. They found the one that totally relates to both situations. Not saying that you will never get married, Chelsea. And it's funny because I saw that. It came up on my feed that people were commenting. It was, Chelsea's finally getting married. And I'm like, did I accidentally put a Aladdin King of Thieves quote? I did not.
You didn't know.
So, I digress.
If only.
So let's jump right into it, shall we? So before we do our main discussion, so we didn't even mention, we just said, hey, the patron pick this time is by Matthew L. But actually, we are doing the movie Jonah, a VeggieTales movie from 2002. But before we go into that, because there is lots to say about this movie, let's do a little NCD, for those of you who are new, nerdy couch discussion. We actually are sitting on a lovely couch right now.
It is.
Nerdy couch discussions are basically a fun little mini segment, which we do, where we just talk about something somewhat related to the movie, maybe not, and we just nerd out about it. And this time, we're going to nerd out about VeggieTales, because I think we need to have a basic understanding about VeggieTales and its place and prominence in pop culture to understand the film, which we're going to review later.
Right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So let's just give a little backstory about VeggieTales. VeggieTales is an animated series that focuses on Christian values, and a lot of times they go back and they retell Bible stories from the perspective of these vegetables. There is Bob, the tomato, Larry the cucumber, and really that's a stretch. That's all I know as far as that goes. I think there's Paw Grape, I believe.
There's lots of fun characters on it.
So many fun characters. And so this actually was a series that debuted in 1993. It was created by Paul Vischer and Mike Naraki, and I'm probably saying that and butchering that name, Naraki. We'll go with that. And basically, they produced this back in 1993. They were direct to DVD or direct to VHS. I'm jumping way ahead. If only it could have been.
If only.
That is our title, my friends. So they released quite a few videos back in 1993, and then it really took off later on. So 2002 is when this film came out. So nearly the 10-year anniversary of VeggieTales is when they made it to the big screen. This was not just a direct-to-video film. It was actually VeggieTales had exploded at this point where they said, hey, let's release it. So, you know, during that time, these were 30-minute segments, you know, where it talks about these VeggieTales characters. Usually they start off with them on a kitchen countertop and they're discussing things. And then I've never seen an actual episode of VeggieTales. My husband, who is not really the biggest fan of animation, has. Because his sister used to watch VeggieTales, apparently. But I was kind of turned off to VeggieTales, I guess. I didn't get in on the ground level when perhaps it was more age appropriate for me. And so by the time it really started gaining in popularity, I was a bit over it.
Right.
And Disney is cooler. So yeah. I prefer to just watch Disney stuff.
Yeah, this just came out right after our time that we would have been interested into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, we just barely missed the window.
I'd say sub-6-year-olds, this is perfect for, right?
Yes.
You know, VeggieTales has a very interesting look. Going back and watching even the film, I can't even imagine going back and watching the 1993 versions, but very dated as far as the animation mm-hmm. goes. And from Wikipedia, which is, you know, a great source of all things great, I learned that, you know, the reason they designed it and they used vegetables, because that's a very, like, this is one of those... Were you high in your bedroom sort of thing? Where do you come up the idea of let's make vegetables and do religious stories about it? Like,
right.
How does that happen? And I don't know if these guys were high. I hope not. But it's very bizarre topic. So the reason they did that, it was just due to the limitations of the CGI software that was available to them at the time.
It's the Toy Story effect.
Well, they couldn't really animate arms and legs and hair and clothes. So it's like, what can we do? It was exactly like Toy Story, like we need plasticky things.
Right.
They obviously had a much bigger budget so they could afford to animate arms.
Right.
But these guys, not so much. So initially they did it with an anthropomorphic candy bar. And one of the wives suggested that you might prefer a hero who promoted healthier eating habits.
Oh,
like,
there you go.
Ah, the old... You know, you gotta eat your vegetables, 5 square meals a day. Whoa, hold on. That's actually contributing to the problem is 5 square meals a day, but 3 square meals a day using your nutrition pyramid, right? So so they changed it and they made it vegetables. And the voice actors actually came from, you know, Phil.
Phil and Mike were the main ones, like the creators. And then you had, you know... Miscellaneous characters.
Yeah, and those were eventually at further times replaced by professional voice actors, such as our good pal, Rob Paulsen.
Hey, Rob.
It's a Rob Paulsen alert. And so Mike and Phil were the ones who did the voices and still do to this day, even though they're really no longer involved in the series. Which brings us to our tangent of the day. Tangent time. Woo-hoo. It is tangent time.
Great.
Tell us, Chelsea.
Great.
Thank you. I was just so inspired by the incredible music in this film.
I've actually met Phil. So, random story.
Random tangent time.
So, it was when I had first moved to Nashville. It was within the first 6 months or so. And I was working and I was out for lunch. And I'm just sitting there, like, doing my thing. I thought, for whatever reason, I'm going to sit outside today. And so I'm sitting outside and just kind of eating. And then I hear this conversation of these two guys right next, like, a table over. And it was just such a strange conversation to be hearing in Nashville. It was all about Big Idea and DreamWorks and what DreamWorks is doing these days. And it was just, like, high-level, like, conversation that you just... don't hear normally. It definitely made my ears perk, and I turned around, and after a second I said, who are you guys?
Wow, not subtle at all.
I'm just
beat to the bush.
Or I was like, why? What are you? How do you guys have this conversation? And so he's like, I'm Phil Vischer. I was the original creator of VeggieTales and Big Idea. And it was not long after DreamWorks had acquired them. And so they were basically, he's like, yeah, we're basically out of it now. Like, but, you know, it's still something to talk about.
Like, hey.
Obviously. It was just really cool. Like, afterward, I was like, hey, guys, I met the creator of VeggieTales. And it was just a very strange place to meet him. But Big Idea is actually located in Nashville, Tennessee. And so, once again, kind of a random place for it to be. But when you know the subject matter, the fact that it's all about Christian values, mm-hmm. it actually makes a lot of sense. Because Nashville is like right in the middle of what is called the Bible Belt in the United States. Basically, it's through the southern portions of the United States. It's a nickname that they basically call this area because there's a high concentration of Christians. And generally, they're more apt to proselyte than in other areas.
Mm, like our protagonist in our film.
Exactly. So that is why it makes a lot of sense that this would come out of there.
Yes. So going back to Big Media. So we did mention VeggieTales, but their parent company is, sorry, not Big Media, Big Idea. Mm-hmm. And just to understand a little history and how this company has gone about. So Big Idea was formed by the two founders. They did incredibly well. From 1986 to 1999, they went from $1.3 million in revenue to $44 million. And then in 2003, Big Idea was purchased by Classic Media for around $19.3 million. Mm-hmm. And Classic Media, they actually own quite a bit of famous cartoons, Casper the Friendly Ghost, some of these older things from like the 60s and whatnot. And so then in 2012 is when DreamWorks bought Classic Media and all that entire library. So they bought it for $155 million. So like I said, Casper the Friendly Ghost, Lone Ranger, George of the Jungle, Lassie, like these are really like definitely family titles that you would recognize, but as far as like the actual cartoons that went along with those, we're so far removed from them and they haven't had the replay and syndication that like I couldn't even tell you what the George the Jungle cartoon series was.
That is different
and things like that. So you know, I think one of the biggest parts that DreamWorks did obtain was the VeggieTales, right? So that just gives a little history as far as the studio goes. And, 2002, it was really the heyday, right? So 2002, they come out with a movie. And then 2003, they're purchased by a bigger company. So just around 10 years, they finally made it. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Well, they made it before that.
They did, but like... The big payout.
The big payout.
The big payout mm-hmm. was then.
The big one.
Yes.
Do you know where that's from?
Of course.
Okay.
Toy Story. Excellent. Come on. I am sad that you would doubt my knowledge of this.
I know. We're quoting so many quotes today. We are the quotant quotables, indeed. Okay.
Let's get back in business. Come on.
Heaven loves a heart that cares. That is why I've come to share a message from the Lord. And if you follow God's command, there will be peace throughout the land. You will live long and happy lives with your sheep, your kids.
All right, so back to the main discussion. Let's go and talk about the film. So Jonah, this is based on the biblical story of Jonah, who is a prophet, and we'll go a little bit into that and what that entails. But it's not just him. So we start this off. Well, before we go into that, let's talk about how this film did, right? So obviously the studio, Big Idea, and it was released October 4th, 2002, budget of $14 million, which is very, very small. Obviously, yeah. But I don't think this studio was really known for this big over-the-top budgets, really high quality. I mean, they did a decent product, but we're not fooling anyone telling them that this is the fanciest animation in the West.
Oh, no. Well, and it's also, I mean, it's just a smaller company still comparatively to the big boys.
And here's the thing. They made it to this point nearly, this is 9 years at the time the studio had been around. The product that they put out has been fine. It wasn't about the animation. It was about the characters and the slapstick, and it was really funny and offbeat, and people loved it. So as a result, this did do marginally well. It, again, budget $14 million. Gross in the box office was $25.5 million. So.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Did very well domestically for what it is. And then foreign, it still hasn't hit foreign at all.
Yeah.
So this is very much a United States thing.
Yes, exactly. Totally. So again, going back to the plot. So we are introduced to kind of this caravan of, they're going on a trip and they're going to go to a concert, and there's Bob the Tomato. And so let me give you my history of VeggieTales.
Okay.
None. Don't have any. Never seen a show, know that it existed. And I was watching this film and I was like, what are these characters' names? I know that they're like so popular, they have like names. And it was like something the cucumber. And midway through, finally I'm like, oh yes, Larry the cucumber. It's Larry. Larry.
Larry.
Larry. If any of you watched Impractical Jokers, you will know what that's from. Anyways, so I see this family driving in the car. I assume it's a family, and it's a tomato and it's an asparagus. And I'm thinking initially it's a dad and a mom, and then they have all these kids, and I'm like, all these kids are adopted. Like, we can't be fooling anyone that a tomato and a cucumber, or a tomato and an asparagus, have all these random vegetable.
Right.
And but then I realized later, no, they're like the chaperones of a children's group. And, yeah. And actually, the asparagus is not a woman, it's a man, which I thought...
Who has a wife.
Yes, exactly. Well, I thought, like, wow, it kind of has a little deep voice. But again, I went into this mindset of immediately, like, driving in the car, family trip.
Right.
And, you know, it took me a while to actually process what I was watching and realize, okay, no, it's a man.
The asparagus does have, like, a Marge Simpson hairdo, so...
Well, yes, that's what I was thinking. I was like, it was Marge, and Marge does have a lower-ish, weird, strange voice. So, I'm sorry, everybody. I failed. I failed you. So, in case you were like me, no, it's not a family. It's just a group. They're going to a concert, and the kids in the back have a dilemma.
Ah, yes. Well, you have... One of the kids has a ticket to go backstage, and so she's showing off, hey, I got a ticket, you don't, and making fun of everybody else, kind of. And then the whole part of this I was going through, I'm like, man, the whole sing-alongs in the car thing just isn't a thing these days, with everybody having like laptops and like personal devices,
tablets, Game Boys,
watching their own movies. Like, this, the whole sing-along in the car is just, it's a lost tradition.
Mm-hmm. It is. No longer do we have to endure 99 bottles of beer on the wall.
Oh.
And all that entails. Nope, it's... Heck no, we're not singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall. Put your headphones in. Yeah.
Which, tangent. I don't know.
Tangent time. It is a tangent time. I really got to workshop that.
You really got to do something. As far, like, I'm just thinking, like, a higher level, like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like, on the one side, you do have a quiet trip, and it passes by quickly when you have everybody has a tablet. But at the same time, on the other hand, you do miss out on those family relationships of, like, being stuck in a car driving, and I don't have anything to do except talk to somebody or yell and scream and cry that somebody is breathing my air. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a toss-up. I'm not sure which one I prefer. The relationships that come from those, or the actual quiet relationships that come from nowadays. Back to normal. All right.
Yes. We are back. Okay, so, you know, there's a little scuffle between the children. She does not show compassion or mercy. She kind of is very vengeful and says, you know what? Sorry.
Sticking it to you.
Oh, yeah. And then this is more or less where we're introduced to the bard who's going to tell us a story, you know, and the story has a moral. And so gather around, everyone, gather around. An old man's talking.
Yeah.
From the Bible, we know that the story of Jonah, which you may not know because it's in the Old Testament, it's kind of wedged in there toward the end. A lot of the meat and potatoes of the Old Testament are the stories of Moses and Joseph, which we talk about. It really like leads off with a punch. And then there's a lot of repetition in the Bible. Yeah. You know, parts of 2 Kings repeat themselves in Chronicles and vice versa. And even at the very end of some of those chapters, they're like, and so it is told in the book of the Kings. It was like, yes, I know. I read this exact story.
Done with that.
And so there's a lot of repetition in kind of the middle part of the Bible. But then middle to end is where we find the story of Jonah. Jonah is a book in the Bible where it is four chapters and very short, just a few pages of scriptures. So I'm going to be talking about the Bible, and we are Christians, and this is a movie about a biblical story. So if that's really not your cup of tea, I mean,
this might not be your episode.
This might not be your episode, but we're going to make it a lot of fun. We're going to give our thoughts on this. And so I'm going to go right now into talking about Jonah. So Jonah is actually a very interesting story. Like I said, it's very short. The majority of it, at least the being swallowed by a well, happens within that first chapter. Mm-hmm. And so I understand why they felt the need to pad this a bit. Like, let's put the bookends, you know, a little story, 15-minute filler at the front, little 15-minute filler at the end, and we'll have Jonah in the middle. And even then, they really do stretch the story of Jonah out with...
to an hour and a half.
Right? Yes. There's a lot of fluff in there, mm-hmm. right? So, and I like that they actually told the story of Jonah as it is, because I think most people high level when they say, oh, Jonah, yeah, he was swallowed by a whale, and that's like the extent of what they know, but there's what happens after, right? And he actually is not that admirable in how he behaves at the very end, which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. So let's go into Jonah, shall we? So this Jonah guy in this film is kind of a nerd. But he's the messenger. Like they say, I'm like the mailman and I deliver the mail from God. Mm-hmm. And he's really established himself where he's at as this messenger from God. And that's what prophets are, is that they really are. God speaks to them, and they are the appointed mouthpiece of God on earth. And then they give that to the people. And so there really is a lot of faith that needs to happen on the part of everyone else, understanding that, one, is this a true prophet, and two, is the message true? Well, if he is a true prophet, then the message is true. But a lot of times the message is not touchy-feely and warm and fuzzy.
No.
Because it's usually calling to repentance, to change, to improve. And where he's at least in this story, they're very receptive to the message. Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you got for us today?
What's the word?
And they like it. And that's because he gets this message that, hey, you've done a great job here spreading my word, giving the good news. However, I have a new thing for you. You need to go to Nineveh. And he's like, Nineveh? He is not a fan. He definitely shows his prejudice and his biases here, because he thinks, okay, these are bad people and they do bad things and I don't want to go there. And so he just doesn't. He escapes to Tarshish, which is very far away, gets on a boat, right? And tries to avoid what God has called him to do. Which we know, when God tells you to do something, it's just so much easier just to go and do it.
It really is.
Kicking against the pricks, which is a biblical term. I mean, imagine that, like kicking against, you know, like a cactus. Like it's not going to work.
It's not going to help you.
No, exactly. It's go with the flow. If God tells you something, it's because he knows what is best. Mm-hmm. And it may not be your plan or what you envisioned. And so for Jonah, he just wanted to preach to the people who were listening to him. It was a pretty easy gig in this story.
And also, the Ninevites were the ones that they had come in and been at war with them so much. And so there's a lot of, as you were saying before, biases. It's like, these guys deserve what they get. Destroy them.
Yeah, you are mean to us. You just, like, yeah.
That means if I go tell them to repent, they might. And I know you'll forgive them. And I don't want them, I don't want you to.
Yeah, he was unable to forgive, which is interesting because, you know, God is, he even through, I mean, I feel like we're just skipping to the end, but, you know, he... he received a second chance. Mm-hmm. You know, he was swallowed by the whale, and then God was merciful and saved him and really gave him that forgiveness and said, okay, now go. I've forgiven you. Go and do this. And he's like, okay, great. Yay. You forgave me. But then it's like,
thank you.
But I don't want others to have that same forgiveness. And that's mm-hmm. really not what this is all about. It's that what makes you better than them.
Right.
And so that's what we're learning in this story. So before he gets on the boat, he meets these pirates. The pirates
who don't do anything. I like the concept of pirates who don't do anything. I think it's funny. Like that was one thing. I was like, how did you come up with this like concept of, I think about like character development, the pirates who don't do anything. How do you come up with that? Like,
well, really what it is, okay, we need him to get on a boat. Right. We need some of our popular characters to make it back into this, mm-hmm. particularly Larry and some of these other characters, which we have are very established from the series.
Right.
We need them here because Jonah's a new character and we don't see him after and we don't see him before. This is right. really his only time that we see him is in this movie. And so, okay, like we need to get him. Okay. Really the only other people in this story of note are the people, the seamen who are on the boat and right. then he has interactions with them. And, you know, we will talk about that in a second. So it's like, okay, well, those are our guys. We have to make them. But it's like, just random sea guys. That's no fun. Let's make them pirates.
Of course.
But pirates are bad and evil, and they do bad things. So this actually was before Pirates of the Caribbean, before pirates became cool.
Right. Exactly.
So let's just make them pirates that don't do anything. Yeah. Done.
Done.
Really?
I feel a song coming on. The pirates who don't do anything.
And like you said, they're very popular.
Yeah.
This spun off its own sequel called Pirates Don't Who Do Anything or something to that effect. And it's all about them because they were so hilarious and so funny. And
Jonah really does build on itself.
Yes. And Jonah, again, is nowhere to be seen in the sequel, right. Which, hey, that's fine. It's not a Jonah sequel. It's just another movie. Yeah. Which I guess it's a sequel because this is where they were first introduced. So it's more of a spin-off series.
And right.
Yeah. Anyway, in the story of Jonah, it's just really funny. So Jonah goes down and he just hides in the bottom of the boat, basically is sleeping. And they have this huge storm that comes. And so I did read the story of Jonah in the Bible to prepare myself. I had to read the source material.
Of course.
It's pretty easy to do when it's only a few chapters.
4 pages.
Four pages, basically. So the storm is brewing and it's very tempestuous. So they come down and they say, hey, man, where are you from? Like, why is this happening? He's like, I don't know. And so they decide, okay, we're going to draw lots, which is basically just, you know, roll
draw
a dice.
Straws.
Yeah, draw straws draw and straws. Who gets the short end. And then that is the person who has caused this upon us. Which I guess they were
that's a very scientific method.
Yes, exactly. I know, right? But of course, God has a hand in it. So he's right. always going to make it where, or at least in this case, where the short straw was Jonah. So they draw straws. And I just love it. This version, let's play Go Fish.
Right. And it goes on for a while.
Again, filler.
Right.
Filler, filler, filler. You could have skipped that whole Go Fish scene and then.
Or just made it a one line. Play Go Fish?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But no, they knew we need to pad this up. So we're going to create this intense Go Fish scene in the storm, in the eye of the tiger. So there we have it. And they say, you're the one. And it comes out that, well,
it was you.
I actually was supposed to go to Nineveh. I didn't want to go. So I went to Tarshish. And it's funny because in the Bible, they're like, well, you have done this. You abandoned God.
Yeah.
And Jonah actually says, cast me off. Just throw me off.
Send me afloat.
And so in this version, he walks the plank and down he goes. And inside the whale, or the fish, the giant fish, he's alone. Very
most
much
likely a sperm whale.
Reminded me of Geppetto.
Yes.
Which obviously Geppetto is inspired by the biblical Bible story as well. But just the imagery and how there's just like this little shack down there.
There was one more
out.
That it was reminding me of. There were two films that I was like, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it also reminds me of in Aladdin and King of Thieves when Genie comes out of the turtle.
Yeah.
With the little, with Mickey's tube boat. Or Mickey. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. So we're introduced to this little worm.
Caterpillar.
Caterpillar. Yes, the hybrid.
He's a half worm, half.
You know what was coming in my head? I'm like, caterpillars are young and they can't breed. I don't think they're mature enough to breed.
No, because it's...
It would have had to have been a butterfly.
Right.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And then I don't want to go down that.
That's a rabbit hole we don't want to go down.
I don't want to touch that. So, like, yeah. Anyways, moving on. He is just this hybrid thing in between. And he's a worm slash caterpillar. Great. And his name is Khalil. That's not the official pronunciation. That is my American Khalil. Khalil. But then he can't really pronounce this. He calls him Carlisle. Carlisle works. But, you know, it is interesting because I'm sitting here and it didn't hit me until the very end of the story and then going back and reading the Bible story. I'm like, why do we need a side character here? Why do we need a sidekick? Why is it a worm? What is he doing here? And he's just like a peddler who's selling plushies.
Right.
What the heck is going on? And it's because at the very end, which you've watched the film, you know, there's, this isn't clear, but he has the shade that, you know, shades him from the plant, and then a worm actually eats it and makes the shade go away. Mm-hmm. So that was where the worm was inspired.
Yay.
They expanded his role, which it does.
Let's bring you into
the
whole thing.
Yeah, he continues his role at the very end. He does his job, but then let's add a whole other backstory and bring him in the whale, which I'm not quite sure how he would have survived in the whale for very long. All that stomach acid is not good for the body.
Agreed.
Anyways, he's kind of a funny character. But again...
Well, and I think the end of Jonah is so... It just cuts off so...
Yes.
So bad. Like as a story writer, if you're reading this, you're like, okay, now what? And everybody... And they follow that... They follow that line of thinking in the actual movie. Was that it? Really? That's the end? Yeah? What? And so I'm thinking, well, it was a good thing. That would have been one more thing to be like... Where did the worm come from? I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, all right, let's minimize the things that are going to have people being like, what? What the heck?
And by people, you mean the small children.
Right. The little people.
Yes, yes.
Because little people notice these things. Where did this guy come from?
True.
Yeah, so at that point, he gets spit out. And he's like, hey, I'm up on land. I was given a second chance. Hallelujah.
Oh, we've forgotten.
We forgot. How could we forget?
How could we forget the
hallelujah gospel chorus?
The very southern chorus that I'm sitting here thinking, you know, if this is a Hebrew story, I'm pretty sure that we don't have the angels being gospel. Who am I to say?
Who am I to say?
But we get quite another show-stopping number, literally. Where it's
like, this was the showstopper. I was like, man,
it was actually pretty
take
decent.
Me to church.
Yes,
amen.
I liked it.
It is one of those choirs that you can only like that are really prominent in the South, and it's like
their homeland.
It is
Big Idea's homeland.
It is, but the thing is, like, I've always really appreciated like big gospel choirs like this because, okay, we're in the West. We definitely came from more Puritan background, and the Puritans did not go around singing so big and boisterously. We were very because that's just how we are. As much as I would love to say that I am a gospel type singer, I'm not. I cannot. Pull that off. I would love to be able to, but I just can't. Like, it's just not in my blood. It's in their blood, and I appreciate it, and I want them to show it, because, man, like, take me to church. Let's do this.
Yeah, so he, you know, we
our
have
God
this...
is a God of second chances. Hallelujah.
I like that song a lot. And it goes back with, there are really kind of a few principles that we learn through this, which is the whole point of VeggieTales. Which, can I tell a tangent?
Please do.
So when I was reading up about the VeggieTales series, it was given the syndication rights to NBC from 2006 to 2009. I imagine it didn't last very long because of this story that I'm going to tell you. So VeggieTales, when it was on NBC, it was on their kind of their Saturday morning cartoon block. They decided to cut out all references to God and all of the religious messages, which I'm sitting here What is the point of doing that? The whole premise of VeggieTales is that it is Christian and religious,
right?
Like in nature, where it's telling you, retelling these stories, giving you Christian messages, which Christian messages don't necessarily have to, you know, only relate to Christians and whatnot. But the way that they go about telling them is through these Bible stories.
Right.
And, you know, there's constant talk of God.
Right.
You know,
I mean, they're all Christian Judeo principles, which is what the United States was founded on. And So it's like, it's just so strange that in order to just skip any type of backlash or whatever, complainer, you know.
So here's the reason why. The reason they did not include this was because NBC has a philosophy of not of being religiously neutral. So they're not going to promote one or the other,
right,
per se. And so as a result, they had to cut it out because that's our policy. And I was reading on the Wikipedia page and kind of the CEO, he was like, well, this was never brought to his attention that it had been cut out until after, you know, people started really complaining. It was like, how dare you cut this out? Like,
right,
that's offensive.
Like,
and
CEO of what? Of
NBC.
Okay.
And he's like, well, this wasn't brought my attention when we signed the deal. If I would have known, I would not have signed the contract.
Right.
Because that kind of goes against the point. Like, he understood that, You know, so obviously, like, hey, we're going to buy VeggieTales. And he's like, oh, it's great. It's going to, you know, it's so popular. It's going to do this for us. It's
obviously,
like,
you've never watched VeggieTales.
No. Yeah. And so, because a lot of times the CEOs, there's other people doing the deals And they're involved and they know high level, but the nitty gritty stuff,
right,
they're not involved in. They're not necessarily going back and forth with legal, making the contract work. And I think this is my view of probably what happened. Just they saw this big property, it looks amazing, let's do it, it'll be great for our Saturday morning cartoons,
right,
it's gonna fill a spot, let's do it. And the people who making the contract negotiations probably just were not as privy to the policy, probably because it just doesn't come up very much,
right,
and maybe it just slipped past legal, they didn't realize. So then when the deal was actually signed and it actually came to the point where they had to get everything ready, someone said, hey, we actually have this policy. Now, again, this is all my speculation, so Do not take this as gospel. This is just how I kind of see it. Maybe they knew and they said, yeah, we're going to scrub it anyway. We're just not going to like bring it up. But this is the gospel of NBC versus VeggieTales, according to Morgan. And so, you know, then when it came to actually the implementation of the deal, they said, OK, we got to scrub this all out. Boom, boom, boom. And then they just released it. And then obviously the audiences who were fans and were familiar with it realized, because there's this thing at the end where they say, you are special and God loves you. It's the end of every episode.
Right.
They just said, they cut that just to say,
you are
goodbye.
Special?
Yeah. No, not even you are special.
Oh,
goodbye. And
what's the ending of that?
Great. Moral of the story, kids. And so it did not go over well. And the official statement was, VeggieTales is religious. NBC is not. I want to focus people more on, isn't it cool that Bob and Larry are on television? Huh?
What? That's the official statement?
That was the statement from Vischer, who was, you know, one of the people involved. Vischer said he was not informed of the religious content. He says, I wouldn't have declined partly because I knew a lot of fans would feel like it was a sellout and it was done for the money. But then,
which it was.
Like, hello, if you're using this example in your official, you know, press release, it says, isn't it cool that Bob and Larry are on television? Isn't that kind of the point of saying putting God, like, goes against putting God first? Like, it's not about, like, the things
it's
of the world,
about God. It's
fame
about
and fortune and money. It's,
right.
It's about God first, right? But that's, like, again, that statement in itself, it goes against the whole point of VeggieTales. So this is Morgan rant time. Morgan rant. It is a Morgan rant. I got to workshop that.
You really do.
Yeah. So anyways, that is the story of removing religion from VeggieTales.
I mean, you're just whitewashing the whole thing. It's like, meh, we're just going to do... Look at the colors, kids.
General feel-good times.
Look at the colors.
It's like, hello, if you're cutting out the biblical stories in VeggieTales, how long are these movies?
Right.
10 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking the shows, the shorts are only 30 minutes total. But then, yeah.
I think they just overdubbed them and they just made it seem like this isn't... Nothing to see here, kids. No. This isn't a religious story. This is just some story that's set in the desert.
So weird.
Now I want to see one of these. To the YouTube.
Versus.
All right, so we go back. Anyway, so like I was saying, there's a lot of great Judeo-Christian principles that we learn here. And there's this forgiveness, which is one of the biggest ones in the Bible, obviously. And compassion and mercy was what we see. And all of those things after this point are given to Jonah. He is given a second chance and he's kind of reinvigorated. He's like, okay, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Okay, thank you. And so then they go off and he goes to Nineveh. Mm-hmm. And so then he goes to Nineveh and is there with the pirates and they get captured. And then
they have this whole slapping thing. Like,
So that was one thing that was like really funny to me is like, well, the people of Nineveh are really bad. They do bad things and they lie and cheat and steal and they slap each other with fishes. And I'm like, is this some sort of like euphemism for like adultery and other sort of things that you would not want to mention to children? I don't know. I feel like if the people of Nineveh were so wicked, you know, you would typically, what goes along with wickedness is things like that. But no, that's too much for the children. Think of the children. Let's slap them with fishes. And so they're getting ready to be slapped by a fish. And then
the slap of no return.
Yes, yes.
This is the big one.
The big one, which is there's no fish really involved at all. It's really just a beheading.
Yeah, no, they have giant fish that they're going to like drop on these guys. Like everyone's just looking, and they're like spiky fish too. So I'm like, where are they getting this breed? I don't understand.
It's puffer fish.
But and then also I'm looking, okay, the slap of no return. So what is the difference? They bring out like an actual pumpkin, like a gourd, and they put it on this as an example of what's going to happen. And I'm thinking, what is the difference between this gourd and the gourds that talk? Like what?
They talk.
I mean, in the lore of VeggieTales, are there, you know, apparently there are the higher level veggies that can actually speak and the lower levels, the lower levels. Like, what's the difference? I want to know the backstory of how the
origin story,
the origin stories of how VeggieTales got their voices.
Yes, I like it.
Let's get that
on. One day, maybe.
We'll find out where this all Bob and Larry came from.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
So before we finally get the slap of no return, they're allowed to give their final remarks. And then this is where Jonah really speaks to their heart. And the king is there and he kind of gives this little sermon, little preachy, blah, blah, blah. Not preachy. He's just talking.
He's delivering his message.
And the
giving
king,
the word.
The king likes it. And they all actually change.
Yeah.
And they say, wow, okay, thanks for telling us this.
New information. All right. We'll move forward.
In the Bible, the king and the whole people, they actually...
They like bow down in sackcloth and ashes.
Like we really go all out because they believe this.
Yeah.
And they truly are converted. And if you read, it says 600,000 people basically are converted in the city of Nineveh as a missionary.
That is a great job.
Even just one soul is worth it. However, a whole city of 600,000. Wow.
That's something to be like excited about, you know. It's like,
but he's not excited.
No, he's ticked.
He's super mad because he thought, okay, I'm going to deliver the message and they're not going to repent. And then he's like, hey, I'm going to go sit up here. I'm going to watch him burn. And that's what he says. He's like, hey, let's send them some fire and brimstone. Whatever you got. And so he's sitting there and he's watching and nothing's happening because they've repented. And so in the Bible, this is also what happens. He's like, hey, I'm going to sit here. And God gives him kind of a plant to...
Yeah, he makes a plant grow very quickly just to, out of nowhere, kind of like, hey, I'm going to make this grow for you because I care about you and it's going to shade you. And then it's just going to go away.
Well, yeah, because he has such a bad attitude about it that, I mean, it's just so funny because he has been given this mercy and this forgiveness in his life. And then he goes and he's like, okay, I'll do what you want. But he doesn't really want it.
Right.
Like, he delivers the message, but he doesn't want them to change, which is really a shame because you should want everyone mm-hmm. to have what you have and have received and to have those feelings of peace in your life. But he, for some reason,
like
is not.
The golden rule, like, treat other people's way you want to be treated.
And so it's a really interesting story. So then in the Bible, the worm comes and eats it up and there's no more shade. And really, that's like the end.
The great thing about in the Bible, in the both in the Old and the New Testament, they have different stories that show this principle. So in the Old Testament, there's more than two. But the Old Testament, this one is a great example of, you know, for that forgiveness. Forgive those that which you have already been forgiven. And then in the New Testament, when there is the you have the man who has a lot of debt, and then his mm-hmm. creditor forgives him instantly, but then goes back. So the guy who's just been forgiven of this
huge,
like millions upon millions of what we would call dollars, you know, money. And then he goes, and the guy who owes him, like, you know, figuratively $10, he puts him into prison.
Yeah.
And then once the original creditor finds out, he's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Like, what? No. Everything is due back to me because you don't have the same high moral value to be able to forgive somebody something much less of what you've already been forgiven.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of those principles. And I love... I'm a big fan of these. I just think it's fun. I thought the whole movie in general, I was a fan of how they just didn't take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
I felt like the whole thing, it knew who it was and who it wanted to be, and it didn't try to do anything bigger or more grandiose than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you really appreciate that. The music itself, it reminded me a lot of like the Sherman Brothers and just different songs that they would come up with. Look for the bare necessities. You know, it's not a huge level, you know, chord changes and progressions and high level, like, oh, but you get this just simple tunes that get in your head and you're like, yeah, this is fun. And okay, you at the very end, they're like, oh, why shouldn't there be a big musical number? And that's when you get the Tippo or whatever, the big music singer just kind of shows up in this seafood restaurant. And he's like, oh, I'll do my big musical number about Jonah. You ever heard of him? Yes, we have. And I thought at this point was the only thing that I really wish they would have changed is to bring in the gospel choir again. Like,
bring him back.
Bring him back, man. Yeah, yeah. They're the best. So I wish they would have done that. And that would have made it really cool because that really would have been the big showy ending.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This one, the ending wasn't
singing from the mountaintops. A star is born. See, that's what they do in Hercules.
Exactly.
They bring back the muses. The muses were there throughout, but you got to have them at the end.
You got to. That's the one thing that I really wish they would have changed about the ending, because that would have been great. And that's just me being. I really love them. Yeah, but the whole thing in general. I give this, based on what it is, knowing what it is, in the realm of what it is, not compared to, like, I'm not comparing this to Gone with the Wind, but I'm saying, like, I appreciated the whole thing. I give it, like, 4 stars.
Whoa.
I mean, it's just seeing what it was.
These are our reviews that don't mean anything. Again. Our reviews are not meant to be compared to each other or to other people's reviews. It's just our review and how we feel.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything.
And there's going to be people that are going to be super upset that I really didn't enjoy My Neighbor Totoro you know, there were a lot of people that were very upset that we didn't like that. They're like, what? I was shocked. Like, I'm sorry.
Okay, we will do a mini Nerdy Couch discussion at the end when I give my review talking about that.
Okay.
So, okay. 4 stars. I liked how this film, it brought back like the real life message with the story from the Bible. So we have the girls, and she does forgive, and she gives the tickets, and then look what happens. They all get backstage passes. Like, I'm not saying that every time you do something, you know, that is good and compassionate and merciful in that, you know, that was really nice to give up your own, to give it to someone else, and not to be so like, well, she deserved it.
Right.
Not every time are you going to have this amazing thing happen, but just over the course of your lifetime, your life will be so much better for it. And you will have those, some of those amazing moments, you know, right away, but not everyone is like that. And you should not expect that. In this case, it worked out pretty well. I really do like the story of Jonah. I actually, the way they told it was pretty funny, but like one last thing that I want to highlight about Jonah is that Jonah was a prophet of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that he was clearly not perfect.
Right.
He was given direction. I mean, he's supposed to be the mouthpiece of God. He was given direction and he turns away from it and he doesn't do what he wants. Even after he delivers his message, received forgiveness, he still kind of has a bad attitude. And so that's one thing that I think, whatever your religion is, people aren't perfect.
Yeah.
But God is.
Right.
Right. And we are all on our own journey to become better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love that Jonah really does tell this story.
And our opinions of God should not be hindered by the
on the actions of others.
Yeah,
exactly. So it really is like our relationship. We're always working towards being better. So that is Morgan's little gospel tidbit of the day. So.
I like it.
Anyway,
do we get daily those? I would love to have a daily one of those.
As far as my rating of the film, I thought it was good. You know, animation, it is what it is. The story, I feel like there was just a lot of fluff.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, the story of Jonah is 4 chapters. It's very short. And they fluffed it up appropriately. Like, I feel like we got to see a lot of Jonah. But then there were all these other random things introduced, which I didn't necessarily love. I did like the song in the middle. And that really is kind of the way that VeggieTales, that what they're known for is they have this silly song literally in the middle of every show that I've learned. Chelsea is nodding her head because she's seen the shows before, but I have not.
Only 1 or 2 episodes.
And so I really like that. It went
silly
in line.
Songs with Larry.
It went along with what fans of the show were used to. And it was a great little number. And the story itself, I have not seen VeggieTales, but this feels like an extended episode of VeggieTales. And it was fun. It was cute. But I don't need to watch it again. For that reason, I'm just going to give it 3 stars. 2.5... 2.75 stars. I don't think I've ever given a 0.75 or 0.25. But because I'm waffling, we're just going to stop the waffling right now and just, boom, cut it in half. Cut the baby in half and there we go. Just kidding.
Yet another biblical reference.
2.75 stars. Again, this was an amazing. I took a lot out of it because I was in the mindset of like reading the scriptures and you know, I could take those little pieces, but I didn't necessarily love it or enjoy it so much. So 2.75 stars. I'm sorry. I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was what it was.
Yeah.
The end. Goodbye.
Goodbye. You are not special. God does not love you. Goodbye.
Now that's one way they could really flip it on there. Like,
right.
You don't like what we did? Well, how about this? Then people would be very upset.
Oh, man.
Guys, just in case you were wondering, you are special and God does love you.
Hey there, Rotoscopers. This is Jared, just giving you a call about Jonah, a VeggieTales movie. Wanted to give you my thoughts on it. It's my first time reaching out to you guys. But yeah, with Jonah, you know, I enjoy VeggieTales for the most part. And I think with as far as animation goes and acting, Jonah was pretty good. I just think that Archibald Asparagus wasn't the best choice for Jonah or a main character in general, really. I think he works better as a foil for more of the comedic characters like Larry and the Pirates Who Don't Do Anything, which is probably why I enjoyed the Pirates Who Don't Do Anything movie that came out a few years later. more than that. But so just based on that, I would probably rate this movie 2.5, maybe 3 stars out of 5 on there. And then, if I could have my 2 cents on what I'd like to see from you guys, it'd be kind of cool to see a review Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole. I know you've talked about that one in the past or expressed interest in it. Smurfs The Lost Village is a pretty cool recent release. I think it'd be nice to see you guys do. And then as far as upcoming animated films, I'd love to see you guys do My Little Pony the movie once it comes out. But that's just my 2 cents. Anyway, catch you later. Appreciate what you do.
Hey, Josh K. here for my voicemail review, same readable, of Jonah VeggieTales movie. I'm way more excited for this episode than I probably should be, but VeggieTales was my childhood, and I actually still have a soft spot for this movie, especially if you know, like, what happened to Big Idea afterwards. Like, they basically went bankrupt because, like, they basically blew the budget just to, like, get the movie out because, like, there wasn't, like, a good distributor or whatever. I think the animation's pretty good for, like, not being a high-budget thing. And, like, I respect them for, like, being respectful to, like, the actual Bible story and stuff. So, and it's probably one of the best Christian movies because, let's be honest, most of them suck. And I'm a Christian, so. Yeah, this has been Josh K, and can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about Jonah of VeggieTales movie.
So before we wrap it up, I want to thank everybody for joining us for this episode of the Animation Addicts podcast. First and foremost, thank you to Matthew for being a patron. This was his patron pick. I hope that we did it justice. And this was very fun. So I did like going back and watching this movie, even though I didn't give it the biggest review or, you know, the greatest. It's no Beauty and the Beast. I'm sorry.
No.
But I think we all can agree this is no Beauty and the Beast. And it's no Goofy movie.
No.
And it's no, anyways, random tangent that doesn't relate to Goofy movie at all, going to My Neighbor Totoro. Speaking of a movie,
yeah,
we reviewed My Neighbor Totoro last time. And as Chelsea was editing it, she sent me a text. She's like, wow, we are horrible people. And I said, whoa, excuse you. I think I'm pretty cool. She says, our review, or we were pretty negative on this, like this simple, innocent children's movie. And here we are. We think it didn't have enough to it. You know, we kept saying that, you know, there wasn't enough weight to it. Maybe someone should have died. And I'm like, hey, I didn't say it would have been better if someone should have died. I just said it would have had
been more impactful.
It would have had more impactful. I'm not saying that should have happened. So I'm taking offense to Chelsea right now because I did not say someone should have died. But again, people were not necessarily as pleased with us. And we knew that. We went into it saying, this will be like A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And we are going to be the ones who don't necessarily have the popular consensus on this film.
Right. There were a lot of comments on the website. They're saying like, yeah, you basically went into it, you know, expecting too much. And I think we really did. And had I seen this as a kid, I wouldn't have expected as much. But yeah.
Anyway, thank you again for joining us for this episode of the Animation Addicts podcast. To join in the conversation and give us your thought on Jonah, a VeggieTales movie, go to rotoscopers.com/152. And coming up, it is a new month in a few days after this episode's release, which means it's time for another Roto Rewatch,
woohoo,
which is the name I'm giving at this point in time. It's basically our Rotocast where we go and patrons of the podcast who are $5 and up get to choose a movie that we will re-review. We've done the poll, and August's movie is going to be Tangled.
Ooh.
So if you remember, Tangled was the episode that Chelsea and I did with my brother.
Yes.
Mason was not on that episode. And so now my brother will not be on that episode, although we can bring Stephen back.
We can bring Stephen back.
If the patrons want it, I will make it happen. But we are going to be re-reviewing Tangled.
No, actually, I think I was not on that one.
Oh, yes.
And it was Mason.
It was Mason.
Because that's when Steve, like, appeared using a
Pokemon. Yes, I was very pleased with my editing abilities on that.
Look, Steven just appeared.
We're such nerds.
So you have not heard.
You've not heard Chelsea's thoughts. This will be great. Steven, sorry, we're not going to invite you. It's just going to be Chelsea because she's going to have so much to say.
So much to say.
Anyway, if you want to learn about how you can get access to that episode, go to rotoscopers.com/Patreon and learn all about the different perks of being a patron. Also, any patron, $1 and above, not only get super cool points.
Awesome cool points, yeah.
But you do get a weekly episode that either Chelsea or I put out. We switch off every week. It's called This Week in Animation. It's a special little about 10 to 15 minute news show where we talk about the news of the animation world that week. It's really fun. It's really cool. Chelsea does a really great job. She sets a very high bar. And So it's her episode this week. So if you want to be a patron, definitely check it out. You do have access to the back catalog of all of those episodes at any time if you want to join. So go check it out. And shout out to all the patrons.
What? What?
Last but not least, school shopping is upon us. If you'd like to start your school shopping on Amazon and also support the show while you're at it, go to rotoscopers.com/Amazon, start your Amazon shopping there, do all your shopping, and bada boom, bada bang, we get a little kickback and it helps support the show. The website actually went through some troubles this past week. So many people have been going to the websites that it's kind of giving some latency and crashing, and we needed to upgrade our server because we were on an older server. And so if you may have noticed the website was down, that's one of the reasons. So, you know, by using the Amazon link or supporting us on Patreon, that's how we're able to keep the show going and the website up and running. We actually had to move to a pricier server, but it's more dedicated, meaning that we're not going to, hopefully, unless people just really just start coming. You know, usually when the website goes on Reddit, like the front page of Reddit, which has happened from time to time, there's just so many hundreds of thousands of people that are clicking that it's just too much to handle, which does happen. So by you supporting the show, it gives us the ability to go to a better server and keep it up and running. We want to keep this up and running for you as long as possible. So thank you to everyone who does shop on using our Amazon link, is a patron. And hey, if you can't do either of those because you're in school and money is tight, I absolutely totally understand. I believe that you and your finances should come first. Make sure that your house is in order.
Yes.
And
we do believe in
the way that you can then support the show is just share this with your friends or go to iTunes and leave us a review. It's really the easiest way to support the show and allows other people to find the show when they're searching. And we see here all the time, hey, I was just looking for a podcast about animation and I found yours in iTunes. So the more reviews you leave, it's more people like you are able to find and join the community. So thank you. And that's all I have. Goodbye.
Until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers. Here, the chosen people are the vegetables. And Nineveh, which we learned, they are not vegetables. They're like
gourds.
Yes. Oh, they are they're gourds?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were like cheese puffs.
No, they just invented cheese puffs.
Okay. That makes me sound stupid. Okay. I have a hard time with this because they're cucumbers and they're vegetables. And cut that out. I don't like that. Cut out all instances of me sounding dumb.
Done.
I speak Spanish to her because I just don't get the chance to speak Spanish ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I really only speak it like once a week. It's like so good. And I know everything. But it's like in the moment I get like, you know how it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I feel so frustrated because I'm like, I know all the words, just saying the wrong words. And speak English to me and it's fine. But I was like, so I speak Spanish and I really want to practice. I don't have the chance. Can I speak it to you? So she's so super nice.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she's like,
I have to deal with this.
Yes, you know, right? Okay.
It's like whenever I speak Spanish to me, like I understand about 80% of what people say until they start speaking directly to me. And then it drops down to like 20. And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm sorry you have to wear code of shame.
The cone of shame. Oh, okay. Follow me on Instagram if you want to know more. I judge you wholeheartedly.